let's start. Well, I'm Jordi Marina. I'm the technical lead of the NFT project. NFT project is an identity project that tries to solve self-sovereign identity in a scalable manner, in an accessible manner, so that's valuable for the users. Wants that everybody be able to be a certification authority for itself, and we want to do that in a privacy by default and by design. That's the main goal of the Ivan 3. In this, when we talk about the scalability of this, when we want this system to be scalable, we have a piece that we call it the trusted relayer. That mainly is a piece that puts a lot of claims, and we need that this relayer, well, you don't have to trust it so that you cannot cheat. Okay? And for doing this relayer, we are using, or we have to use, a technology that's mainly the Zika rollup. Okay, so we decided in item 3 to implement also the Zika rollup because most of the pieces are exactly the same. Okay, so in this presentation, mainly I'm going to talk about the Zika rollup, how we work, the implementation that we are building right now, and explain some of the details of this. Okay, so let's start. Well, this is just a little bit of a spoiler. This is the results that we are gonna that theoretically are possible with this system. It's important to see that this is just in Ethereum 1.0. We are not talking here in Ethereum 2.0. Or we're not talking about anything. Just using Ethereum 1.0 in the lower layer. Okay, so let's see how we achieve these results. What's the general idea of the rollup idea? Here is, we have a kind of sidechain, like Plasma, if some of you have been using. In this sidechain, we have a database of balances. All these balances is it's a state. All these states, we can create like a Merkle tree, and we have a root, we have a hash of all these states. And in this state, we have a set of transactions that we put in a batch, and in each batch, we create a new state. So we process a set of transactions for each batch. And the thing here is that in the blockchain, in general, we just put this state. Okay. So in Plasma, for example, this is how we guarantee that this state is valid. How we guarantee that these transactions are processed in the right order, in the right way, that there is no double spendings, that everything it's exactly it fits. So in Plasma there is this gaming stuff in Zika rollup. Mainly what we do is, besides the next state, state, we also put a proof that this state is valid. This is a zero knowledge proof. Okay. So here is the key piece, the key technology that makes this enable. Is this the Zika snarks? The important part here is the S. That's just from succinct. That means that we can generate a proof that maybe 1,000 or even theoretically 1 million transactions are valid from one state to the other. So we have 256 bytes, just the hash of a state. We go to the next state, 256 bytes, and we can add a proof, that proof that's valid. And this proof, it can take long to generate, but in order to verify, it's time constant. In 10 milliseconds, don't matter how many transactions we are processing, in 10 milliseconds, we can verify that proof. And that's the key part of all the roll-up stuff. Okay? Here, the system is like perfect, but there is an important problem that needs to be solved here. And it's what happens if this operator, that can be decentralized, that then we will see how it works, but what happens if this operator just computes a new state that's actually a valid state with some valid transactions, but what happens if these transactions are not available? Nobody knows what are those transactions. This is what's called the data availability problem that I'm sure many of you have been hearing. So the idea is that we need to guarantee that this data is available. In this case, in this implementation, of course, this data can be put in many places, but in this implementation, what it does is it put the minimal data of this information, the from, to, and the amount, that's it. We put it that in the same chain. So we put it in the data, the data field of a transaction, we are putting a set of all the transactions that are putting there. That's a lot of data there, but that's when we will see the calculus and we will see that that's not that much. Okay, so that's the main thing. Of course, we are trying to compress a lot this data in order to have more transactions. Okay, so let's go a little bit in detail of how this circuit works. When I mean circuit, how we generate this proof? We generate this proof, circuit mainly is what it is, it's a deterministic program. It's a program that we put an input, we do the computation, we have an output, in this case it's the new root, and we prove that actually the input matches the output. Okay, so this is the proof, the zero knowledge. Mainly the circuit has a set of transactions processors, so we have the old root, we process a transaction, we have a new root, process another transaction, have a new root, and maybe, I don't know, 2,000 transactions, and then we have the new root. Okay, so let's zoom in one of those transactions processors, what we have here. So here are the main pieces of this circuit. First, we have a signature verification. This is very important because by design of the circuit, we don't need to store the signature on chain. The signature is a very big piece of data that we need to put. But verifying that, the signature can be off chain. The transactions can be included, but by design, they will not be valid if there is no signature that, if that's not exist in the signature that's valid for that transaction. But if it's valid, it happens, and so we don't need to store the signature. So this is important. Okay? Then we have, of course, we need to modify the state of the sender, of the state of the receiver, and so we have this process of the Merkle tree processor, so that we are mainly updating this Merkle tree with different states. We need to have two of them, from the sender and from the receiver. And of course, we have all the logic of the transaction processing. Here is, we guarantee that there is no double spends, that you have enough money to send, and all that logic. So that's very much the picture of the circuit. You see here, it's important to see the input, that there are, of course, there is public inputs, like the old root. There is parts of them that are also public. There's a front to an amount, that's a minimum part that needs to be available for computing the new state. And then there is a lot of private inputs, that's the current state, that the only needs to be is be verified with the root. Okay? So let's see how this rollup would work. What kind of transactions? Imagine that we start a new rollup. We have an empty root. The first thing that we can do is do deposits. So mainly how it would work, you will take a token. System works in any tokens, so it's multi-token system. So you can send the tokens, Ether or whatever, to a smart contract, and the rollup will create a special transaction that's a deposit rollup. That mainly what it does is creates a new leaf in the state with the initial amount that you are sending here. Okay, so the people would just get in, move either to the side chain. Okay, then we have the normal of chain transactions that are mainly just transferring from one account to the other account. Of course, it needs to be the same coin, and all the logics in there. And then we have the exit. How the exit works? The exit mainly is just sending the money to 0x0. So you send the money to the zero address, and this will mainly what it will do is this will create like another tree for each batch. We have like a separate tree of exits so you are sending that to that tree. So we are constructing this tree of exits. So with this, from the smart contract side, again in the main chain, we can withdraw. We prove that we have a leaf in this exit tree, we mark it, we flag it as a withdrawn, and we get the money back. So here we see the full picture of how we deposit, we move inside, and then we exit the stuff. Of course, we can mix things. We can mix between on-chain and off-chain transactions. For example, we can force an on-chain we can force a transfer from an on-chain transaction. This is very convenient. For example, if a smart contract wants to do a transfer inside the other chain, and the last one probably is the most difficult one, is that we can load, so we can deposit on top of another or an account that's inside, and maybe doing a transfer in the same. As you can see here, there is always two. There is always two Merkle tree processors. In general, it's from the sender and from the receiver, but you are using accordingly depending on the transaction that we have. Okay. So we explained a little bit how the exit mechanism works. Ready? So let's talk about the operator. Okay, who's forging these badges? Who's creating this? Who's creating these proofs? Well, what we do here is, okay, we have a lot of blocks. We define that a slot is a number of blocks, let's say, for example, 20 blocks. And we define an era that's maybe a set of slots, let's say maybe 10 slots, okay? So here it works very much like a proof of stake. So you set up, you just put some stake in the, you just put your stake, so you will be able to forge some of the blocks. So when you put the stake, you will start, so you will register for ERA plus two, so for two eras in front of that, okay? And for each era, there is a raffle, okay? The raffle happens like 1 era before, okay? And how the raffle is done? Well, the raffle is, it's the random number, the way of generating the random number mainly is, well, the operators, they commit. So they create this decide, they create this line of, well, this chain of hashes. So I create the hash of the hash of the hash of the hash of the hash. I commit to the last one. And then for every block that's forged, it reveals the last one. So just the previous one, the previous one, the previous one. So it needs to be matched with the next one. So it's a it's already committed random number. And the raffle is made with the hash of all the of all these committed random numbers from all the blocks in the in each era. So it's quite random on this. So here is the chances that you are assigned to a specific slot to get to be able to forge blocks are according to the quantity of stake that you are putting. Actually, it's a little bit more complex. It's maybe it's just like a square, or it's like a x to the 1.1, 1.2. We'll see. This is a proportional part. Maybe we want that the people that concentrates. But it's not the same. For example, it's not the same. For example, having one staker with one 10 stakers with 1 ether each, or one staker with 10 ether. Actually, the chances would be the same, but in one you would risk just 10 ethers, and in the other would risk just 1 ether. So we are compensating the accumulation. The people that's staking more will have an extra just for accumulating that. And we are doing that, but just creating this this effective stake on that. Okay? Yeah, one important thing. Once you are assigned to a slot, in that slot, the operators can mine, can forge as many badges as they want. So that's an interesting thing, because they can, if they have enough power to generate badges, that's good for them. So this is an incentive that's going on there. And another important characteristic here is the kind of pipelining. So the idea is that the blocks are not forged. So the blocks can the blocks cannot be needs to be committed before a specific time in the slot. So in the last part of the slot, you cannot commit to new blocks. You can forge blocks that are committed previously in the beginning of the slot, but you cannot commit to new blocks. This allows to the next operator, the one that's coming in the next slot, to start mining, to start computing the proof for this. Okay. Important. The proof is very very parallelizable in two ways. One is that imagine that I have a processor that's a computing a proof. Well, if I have the a state here, I can start computing the proof, but maybe in the computing the proof, I can forge another block and start computing maybe in another processor the proof. That's one way of parallelizing. But another way of parallelizing is just the proof computation, just by itself, is very parallelizable itself. So maybe it's more convenient to put all the four processors just to help in the same proof. That would be like the last one. This will have the advantage that the finalization of, or at least the finalization of the batch would be fast, would be faster. But of course, require more investment. Okay. Slashing. When are you slashing? Well, many of you are slashing for two things. First, the operators needs to forge a block, needs to forge a batch in each a slot. If they don't forge a batch, they are slashed. They just lose the state. And the other is if they commit to a block and they are not forged, so and they do not forge that commit, they are also slashed. That are the two things that they are slashed with. Okay? Here you see the format of the data availability. This is the part of the transaction that we need to reconstruct the full state and needs to be available. And we are putting this on chain. Okay? This is why it's so short. We have only 3 bytes from the from, 3 bytes from the to. Here you see the deposit. When you're doing the deposit, you're assigning a number. So you get like, you're doing a kind of login here. So you get a very, very short address here. Okay? So that shut the address inside. And the 2 bytes is a floating point style number. So in 2 bytes, we can put almost any 3.5 decimal numbers with from 0 to 2 to the very big number. Okay, so that's very important because this is what allows us to do as many transactions in this system. Okay, well here is the how the hashes would work. You see all the transactions that we need to hash. You see the on-chain hash and the on-chain hash because when you are doing when you are forcing a transaction, for example, imagine that you want to force an exit. If you want to force an exit, you will mine a transaction on chain. This will force the operator to mine that transaction. Transactions that are forced on that are pulled on chain are forced. They are the operator are have the obligation to force that. So in that transactions, there are more in a cumulative hash, and for the data availability part, it's just an SHA 256 of the all the data in there. Okay, fees are. You know, it's a detail, but it's important because, yeah, we want to process a lot of transactions. So, how we calculate the fees? We cannot, the operator or in chain, in the on-chain part, we cannot put a lot of logic there. So we need a more simplistic mechanism. So what it does here is that the operator chooses a fee, and then it's able, in that block, will only be possible to mine transactions that the user is willing to pay more than that fee. So then computing how much fee the operator gets, the rewards, is just a multiplication. And in this fee plan, there is also a limit. There is only 15 slots. So you can select 15 different coins, which fee you want to pay for each coin, and then only transactions of that kind will be mined. Okay? Signature verification, here there is a lot of investigation to do. We're using EDDSA in BabyJab. We're using the Poseidon hash function. It's a function that's still not, well, it's safe, but it's very new. And right now, I know that at least the Ethereum Foundation and other people are running some competitions and trying to break these new cryptographic functions, but they are very efficient and it works very, very well. Maybe it's possible to do batching inside the Snark. Normal batching of EDDSA would require to work with a modular math that's not exactly the one that Snark, so it's not as easy as it would look like, but there is some investigation there. But mainly what we're doing is just a normal EDDSA for each transaction. And this is right now one of the most important consuming in the number of constraints that we're having here in the circuit. Okay? Here is, we already talked about on-chain transactions. Yeah, another important thing that the system have is atomic atomic swaps. Atomic swaps is our transactions, just but without adding anything on chain, just you can sign the transaction that this transaction will be only mined if these other transactions happen, and the same in the other transaction. So this allows to do atomic swaps. This is, for example, for exchanges. This is very convenient for doing this kind of atomic swaps. And this is just like an extra field that's signed when you are creating the off-chain transactions. And this is done without adding in any extra cost in the on-chain part. Yeah. And well, here I want to talk a little bit about the improvements that we are doing right now. Well, we have a full implementation of the proof generation in CUDA in GPUs in the BN128. Here is more or less the numbers. It's like in a, let's say, this is a very round numbers because we are still optimizing and we are still working, but in a sub 10K hardware, we can compute 2048 transaction proof in about 10 minutes. That's our word, the numbers that we are working right now. So they are starting being quite well. There are still some optimizations that we can do. Here we are analyzing, maybe it's working with FPGAs and other technologies can be improving here. It's a matter of speed, cost, complexity. This is very much the part of engineering that we are working very much on. Okay, here is the numbers. As you see, the first line is how much cost. Well, first, the number of transactions that we have in Ethereum right now is about 32 transactions. Here I'm talking just about normal Ethereum transfers. So we have 10 million divided by 21K gas. This is 32 transactions per second. Divided by 15, we get the 32 transactions per second that we have right now, normal Ethereum transactions, just to have a reference. If we implement this system in the current chain as is now, the cost of putting all this data available on chain, this is quite high. You see 2048 transactions times 8 bytes per transaction times 68 gas per byte. That's a total number of more than 1 million for 2000 transactions. Okay, so that means that we would be able to put 5 batches in a block. So that's, would give the relative number of about 682 transactions per second, which is not bad. Okay, but in the after the Istanbul, where the proofs of these data bytes in the on chain plus the reduction cost of the proof verification on chain is reduced, doing the same numbers, we would be able to put 15 batches per block. And then the number, the theoretical limit of the transactions, we are talking always about the BN128 core, just without doing any special things, we could go to reach these limits. Of course, when you are working with this number of transactions, you start having other problems. You need to process 2,000 transactions, the transaction pool starts getting more complex, or there you have other difficulties that needs to be solved also there. But that's the theoretical numbers where we are. And some of you may think that, okay, yeah, but you have to put this expensive hardware in order to. It's time again. Okay, let me move forward. But just, yeah, the cost of the hardware should be less. If you do the division, it's less than one cent. Okay? So here are a set of tools that we're working in item 3. We have Circumleap. Not many of you are here. Here is the CUDA Snarks. A lot of things is working, is going in this place. Of course, we are still working in the identity protocol. This is just a specific part of the identity protocol. I don't know if you have seen here, but we are running this game for just verifying all this kind of trusted network. You see some papers here. If you want to play the game, that's up to you. That's a nice, fun game to play. And yeah, we want to release all the API for the identity and all the stuff. And we are working very hard also in the rollout, and we hope that in next weeks we will be in the testnet. That's very much.